Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
For once, big-time sports may actually subtract games. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday, and it's August, which means we have college football games this month. I can say for the first time since January, and it was sort of a, it would not have been much of a declaration on January 1st. Hey, we got college football games later this month. You already said, Chuck, I'm watching a college game right now. Like, there's seven today. But for the first time since then, I can say, hey, later this month, we got college football. And it's awesome. Dan, give me that week zero schedule, please.
I know at least a couple. UTEP.
We have Hawaii and UCLA.
Yes.
Do we have a UConn-Fresno something happening?
I believe so. I know that we have UTEP and New Mexico State because our good buddy Jake Crane said, I've never been more excited for a UTEP-New Mexico State game. And the New Mexico State punter said, I know that's right, on Twitter.
Okay. All right. So there's that. So we got at least three games, but it's real live college football. It is not like if you take the DeLorean back to when I was a college freshman and I showed up on campus September of 1986. Hey, it's Chuck. We accepted you? Yeah. Okay. So now I'm attending school. When basketball season would start in a time, honestly, I would say up through maybe the late 90s, you would start your season with Marathon Oil, Athletes in Action, which I think was like, and these were like teams of former college basketball players that were like, I don't know, 28, 30, 32, grown men, who would play. They would be paid by these sponsors and travel around and either play for Christ or, you know, to sell gas or whatever. And those games didn't really count. Week zero counts. These are actual programs. And so we have real life college football later this month. And when I say for once, big time sports may actually subtract games, that's all caps. Capital B, capital T, capital S. Big time sports, as in sports that generates cash. For once, any big time sport may actually subtract games. We just saw the NFL. What did the NFL just do? Ain't nobody going to go 500 this year. Do you know why? Because they added a 17th game. Unless you go 8-8-1. What did they do? They added games. Why? Money. Baseball. Let's expand the playoffs. Why? Well, we're going to add games. We get more money. They never subtract games. I'll give David Stern credit, the old NBA commissioner. Folks, you can go Google your computer and find, I think it was like January or February, in the middle of Michael Jordan's last season with the Wizards, David Stern announced in the middle of the season, hey, you know that first, because the Wizards were not good, but they were probably going to make the playoffs, which means a first round, but a first round exit. You know what David Stern announced during that very season? Hey, you know, playoffs will start in 2 months. You know that first round that's usually best 3 out of 5? We're going to go 4 out of 7. Why? To guarantee at least one more Michael Jordan TV game. Literally, that was it. because that's big time sports. And when it comes to scheduling, what do? Oh, they only add games. Well, for once, big time sports and college football, particularly, may subtract games, sort of. There is an idea of a plan for the SEC schedule going forward. And by how it's being discussed, the most noticeable difference will be teams going from one permanent opponent to three. I would clarify that that was a casual use of the language. Currently, each SEC program has six permanent opponents. And this really will achieve the goal of adding variety to the conference schedule. If you think that's a priority, and I don't care about schedule variety, I honestly don't. When I say you have six permanent opponents, I'm sorry, you got seven. You play the six opponents in your own division, and then your cross division. If you're Florida, you play LSU. If you're Georgia, you play Auburn. If you're, what, Vanderbilt? Who do you got? Ole Miss? Everybody's got their cross division. Was it South Carolina and Texas A&M, I believe? And so currently, you have six permanent opponents in your own division, plus the one everyone talks about. If you think it's a priority to have schedule variety, then yes. Scaling back to a total of three permanent opponents, no matter what you call where you play, a division, a pod, a grouping, I don't know, whatever. I believe it's one of the most overrated and pointless pursuits of how teams are divided into any sort of division. The truth is, when we hear people say, we want more variety, when we hear anybody say that, the truth is, we don't want variety. We just want better games. That's why no one at Georgia has ever complained they only get to play Mississippi State twice every 12 years. See, those two programs, are we aware of this? Georgia and Mississippi, SEC's only been around since, I think, 32. Georgia and Mississippi State have shared football conferences going back to 1896. They have played each other a total of 25 times. How many? Was that 125 years? They played each other 25 times total in more than a century. And no one cares because that game stinks virtually every time it's played. Last season, as a rare exception. And that was sort of on the defense for Georgia. I think that was Lanning and Kirby saying, we're going to let them complete a bunch of short passes. They started blitzing in the fourth quarter, and at that point, they got some stops, as I recall. But I bet we're on 10 stations in the state of Georgia. Somebody tweet me right now. You ever heard a Georgia fan complaining about schedule variety? Oh, we only get the Maroon Bulldogs twice every 12 years? No, because schedule variety isn't what any of us want. Better games is what we want, which is why you hear the Georgia fans say, God almighty, we only play LSU twice every 12 years. That is the math, isn't it? You're one of those six that's not your permanent. When it comes to LSU, oh yeah, let's have more variety in the league schedule. But that's not what it's about. I don't know. You're bringing in Texas and Oklahoma. That seems to up the possibilities for having better games. You look at so many of the non-conference games that teams, especially in the SEC, it's great that Ohio State does it. They didn't just add Texas and OU. Like Florida just added Texas and OU. Well, we only get to play, I don't know how it's going to be broken down, and honestly, I do not care. Again, how many times as a Florida fan, how many times have you played NC State in the past 50 years? Dan, quickly find out. If NC State suddenly joined the SEC North, which honestly could happen. I've told you, we need to start thinking Game of Thrones here. What is that? Thanos? Is he going to be the commissioner? There's going to be an SEC North at some point. How many times, Dan, NC State and UF?
Don't know about that, and don't know about the Game of Thrones either. Looking at NC State, though.
You would have to invest a lot more time than we have in this show to get caught up in Game of Thrones. I watched season one, the very last thing, spoiler alert, these eggs cracked open and some dragons flew. I was like, I'm out. This is silly. So I don't know what happened after that. But if NC State suddenly joins the SEC North, I mean, as a Florida fan, are you? Well, we never play the Wolfpack. We've got to have schedule variety. I have not. They might have played 10 times ever. What do you got?
9 wins for Florida, 4 for NC State, 1 tie.
14 games in the history of college football. 14 times. Brother, you start playing them twice every 12 years, guess what? I mean, you may as well book hotel rooms, get to know people in Raleigh. Compared to what you've done, it ain't about variety, it's about money. And since you're in the SEC, you'll have a good enough schedule, and even if it's just twice every 14 years, I promise you that schedule just got better.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
In all honesty, not as much as you would think. My mind is spinning forward quite rapidly. To all that's in front of us, our athletics directors will meet in a few weeks. We have day-to-day work that takes place, so I had a few check-ins on that.
Greg Sankey, cold doe-eyed killer. That's the unofficial label. It does not say that on his business card. It says SEC commissioner, and he was talking with Paul Feinbaum on the Paul Feinbaum Show, which is on the SEC Network and also on the radio, a bunch of places. And he was responding to Paul's question about, so now that OU and Texas, it's official, they were invited, they've said yes, we have a timeline at the latest, it'll be June 30th, 2025, at the latest, or July 1st, I guess. So what do you think? And Sankey's like, there's a lot going on, Paul. I've got day-to-day work that I still have to do. I got just commissioner stuff. And then also just I've got a lot of other commitments based around this that are just immediate, like this thing's on fire, stomp it out. And too many of them to necessarily percolate just about what it all means big picture. It's more about this deadline and filling out that application and making sure everything's crossed and dotted. So he's like, been real busy. Now, all of that is true. Every word that Greg Sankey said and everything that he implied. Everything. It's also true that he could have skipped all of the preamble and all of it and said, pretty dang cool, isn't it, Paul? Didn't we just, like, kick the stool out from under every other conference commissioner? We about to be in charge of this whole thing, aren't we? He could have said that because it took me getting blindsided almost 2 weeks ago. It took me, like, I don't know, about 30 minutes to come up with, Whoa, hang on, everybody. And like this was live on the air. I was like, I got this thing figured out. We're about to have four SEC divisions. We will expand north and south. Greg Sankey, he could have responded to that. But what Greg Sankey also shares with Mike Sly, for instance, isn't the announcement of Texas and OU, isn't the Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC becoming official, isn't that story becoming a real news, not just a rumor and not just reported by the Houston Chronicle? Because even 2 weeks ago, you know what it was for about 48 hours? Actually, it came out on Wednesday morning. It was until the following Monday before there was official stuff. Now, in Big 12 country, there was official stuff on Friday when they all met. Texas and OU was like, nah, we're good. We're busy today. Like, you called it so quickly. You got to tell us this stuff. That happened in 5 days. It became official. By that time, Greg Sankey, see, he realized what he shares with Slive. The announcement was spiking the football. He doesn't have to sit back and look around and go, yep, everything y'all are saying is true. He knows everybody understands what they're saying is true about what a coup, what a power play, baller move, what all of this was for Greg Sankey. He doesn't have to tell you, and he's not going to tell you. There are others who do, mostly dudes who get in very powerful positions, and they have to tell you how much they just spike the ball on you. And that just makes everybody hate you. Greg Sankey, all he's doing, he's letting everybody else say it. He's like, and in fact, his official response is, hey, I've been too busy to even process it. I don't even know what I'd spike the football about. That's the real baller move. I'm letting everybody else say it. I don't have to. And by the way, there literally is zero win. Like Aaron Rodgers, did y'all see his press conference last week? There was zero. Now, he doesn't get, you know what the real win is? I'm going to make $40 million. I'm going to be married to this person, and I'm already going to the Hall of Fame. That's the win. He had to go into a press conference and be a jackleg. And you know what? Like, even just casual fans who've never had an opinion one way or the other about Aaron Rodgers thought after that press conference, what a jackleg. I give Greg Sankey credit. He's like, oh, I ain't said nothing. That's everybody else talking. What up, Dan?
No, I mean, but Aaron Rodgers, though, you also have to realize who he is as a person and what he's done. He just stuck to the character. He's been known as being the guy that he was right there. And I think in his mind, when he went to that press conference, he said, what are they going to do? They're going to cut me? They can't
Boo,
do that this year.
Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, and then I'm not going to be here next year anyway, so what do I care?
Oh,
so,
yeah, he got the Brady provision.
Yeah, he stuck to his guns on that. And for that, I give him props for. By the way, too, what you missed out on Friday is I got to enjoy OU President Jay Harris, I believe is how you say his last name, really like almost like a volleyball team slapping around the Big 12 saying, yeah, 11 o'clock kickoffs, what's that about? And also, too, the media rights, what have you done for us? So basically out the door letting them know, hey, this is why I'm breaking it off with you. Conversely, Oklahoma State. How about this for trying to play a no-win game right here and trying to make a power play when you don't have power? Oklahoma State President Casey Shrum on Twitter. I don't know what the future holds with Bedlam. That's really what you're going to hold over us is the fact that, oh, hey, OU, now we're not going to play you because we're so angry with you that you did what was right for you and you're moving on and you're doing what probably if we had the cards would have been doing for ourselves. But for that, we're going to abstain. We're not going to play against you in Bedlam. If that's really the card that you got, maybe send on Twitter was not the right move.
Yeah, Oklahoma State, there's a bigger topic about that I've got for probably the middle of this week. I think Oklahoma State is going to be just fine with Bedlam or without Bedlam.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Well, somebody gonna have to turn over the business card, write the rest of his credits on the back. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday, and it's August 2nd, which means we have college football later this very month. I can say that, and it's not like Bill Clinton accurate. You know, like legally accurate but misleading. No, it's like real stuff. This is not Marathon Oil. This is not Athletes in Action. This is two Division I teams playing each other this very month. I want to welcome on that guest again. And like I said, his business card getting a little fuller. We know him. He's host of The Game. That's every afternoon, 2 to 6, local at Tide 100.9 FM, a great station yonder in Tuscaloosa. I want to welcome him on now, Ryan Fowler. How you doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing great. And just by you saying college football is right around the corner, I don't know, there's just something about that that just makes me kind of feel happy with this. You know, hey, we're here. We've made it. It's 240-something days since we started countdown, and now we're down to 30-plus days, and it's even closer with some of those other teams. But, hey, we're counting down to Alabama football and a chance to defend a national championship.
And when I was saying your professional duties just lengthened a little bit, you are joining the Southern Sports Today Network, which is who puts my show out. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I'm kind of excited about this. You know, Podcast Park and doing some things with Chris Landry, which I know you have on, man. We love him. He's just a great analyst, and it's always fun to talk to, and just provides a lot of insight. And I think what he does is he offers something different. It's not your typical analysis when you look at college football. He looks at it from a couple different angles, and I'll try to add some things from a local perspective, covering the University of Alabama daily, and have been. I've watched this dynasty built from the very beginning, and it's crazy. I mean, to think about this program and where it is, and when you could lose as many coaches as players, but you're still clearly the number one team in college football. And it just it's awkward to think about losing this much talent, but it's what Nick Saban has been able to build.
Ryan Fowler, so you can get him, as I said, every single afternoon, 100.9 FM in Tuscaloosa. You can hear him when he's a guest here, or you can go to thepodcastpark.com, wherever you get your podcast, et cetera, for the brand-new podcast, Ryan Fowler and Chris Landry talking Bama football. And it's going to be awesome, folks, again. He's been there since Mike Shula was trying to call all those timeouts in his last Iron Bowl.
I was here when Mike DeBose was fired after losing to La Tech. So
that goes way back.
Let's talk about the
coming season. And I think you and I, you were one of the few folks I asked, like back in maybe February, March, as spring practice was starting. I was like, I don't know who the best Alabama offensive lineman is. It's like 5 months later, and I don't know how I lost my mind back before the spring. It's Evan Neal, and he may be one of the best in the entire conference. I'm trying to figure how I got there to wondering, hey, how good is Evan Neal just 4 or 5 months ago? Recap his level of play so far. Just give us a flyover of his career in Tuscaloosa, because I'm wondering what I've missed.
Well, look at Evan Neal, probably not a high-profile position when you look at, right tackle. You really focus on that blind side of that quarterback, unless it's Tua Tagovailoa. But Evan Neal came in as just this beast of an individual. When you look at him, I mean, and what he's able to do athletically grabs your attention when he's jumping up, 3.5 foot, on a box and doing the splits. And it's like, hold on. I mean, I think I tore an ACL just watching it, you know. So you look at Evan Neal, he brings in a lot of athletic ability. He's a extremely large individual. But I think Evan is one of those guys that maybe was not in the spotlight. Landon Dickerson, you know, got a lot of that responsibility with, you know, being a leader and an anchor. Alex Leatherwood was another leader, but he did it in a different way. He was more of a quiet leader, but able to get the job done. But you look at, you know, that position now, and I think, you know, I think everybody expects that he'll flip to left tackle, that he'll be that guy. And then you will break in another right tackle that probably won't know a lot about. In a couple of years, you'll be asking about him. But Evan Neal coming in, let's say that Alex Leatherwood is not there. He would be one of those guys, day one starter in the SEC at left tackle. That's the type of potential. But he was blocked because, you know, there's another highly talented guy by the name of Alex Leatherwood there. And, you know, Evan is just, I think, it's going to be a very consistent player, and I think that's probably his natural position, that left tackle spot.
A couple of Sunday nights ago, as everybody's, you know, strolling into Hoover, checking in, registering and all that, I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine who covers Alabama, and I was just talking about the preseason vote that was coming up, and we've seen the results and all that now. And I was asking about what Chris Owens would be likely to land on, and he was trying to be a little funny. He's like, Werfel Trophy. And I was asking, like, first team, second team, third team, you know, various Bama players, which team they would land on. He's like, yeah, he's more likely to win the Werfel Trophy. And that's more of it's not a dig, but I mean, my gosh, it's a lot different than being first team all SEC. Tell me what Chris Owens can be on the field this year.
Well, I think look at the pressure cooker that they threw him in, not against, you know, a Mercer or a Western Kentucky or Western Carolina. They had to throw him in against the playoff guys and, you know, was able to really handle it following, you know, that injury from Landon Dickerson took in the SEC championship game. And so I think Chris, it told me everything that I needed to know, that he was going up against, quote, the best two opponents that Alabama played, and he was ready for that responsibility. So that tells me as an individual, because it's harder to stay ready for, you know, that responsibility. I mean, to be able to step in and to be able to walk in at that responsibility, because it's easier said than done. Everybody said, oh, the second team's guys are always ready. Well, they may always be ready, but are they ready to play at a high level? And I think Chris was able to, I don't want to say not miss a beat, because I think he's not Landon Dickerson, but I think he has a chance now to be that guy. And the responsibility for that center spot is much more than, you know, just going out and, hey, be here. The blocking assignments, to be able to come in. And I thought the one thing that Chris said that really grabbed me, one of the reasons why he came back to Alabama was that he could work with Doug Marrone and a former NFL head coach. Yeah, but that can take his skill set and even maximize it there. So I'm kind of excited to see the different blocking assignments that, you know, Doug Marrone's going to throw at Chris Owens, and kind of watch him grow in this position as a upperclassman. But watch him maybe accept that more than everybody else, and really help that as far as the leadership. I think he is that, and I think we did see that on the Werfel Trophy watch list earlier this – actually, it was Friday, I think it was.
Yeah, absolutely true. That did happen. Ryan Fowler, again, from the game, his show every day, Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 there on Tide 100.9 FM in Tuscaloosa. Let's bounce out to the perimeter. When I was talking with Coach Saban 2 weeks ago at Media Days, I asked him about John Metchie and the physical nature of his game and blocking. And I was, you know, saying, you don't compare people to Julio, but that's how physical this guy is as a blocker on the perimeter. And he talked about that a little bit, but he also made a point, and I thought it was interesting, Ryan. He's like, I want everybody to understand, though, he is also an amazingly explosive receiver who can make huge plays in this conference to help us win. Talk about just that part of Metchie's game, because the coach said he wanted to remind everybody it's not just the hit against Florida.
Well, you go back and look at this trend of first-round wide receivers. John Metchie seems to be that next projection that has stretched back now, you know, almost 10 years, when you look at all these wide receivers that grab this attention. I was highly impressed. I had a sit-down conversation with John Metchie and just walked away going, man, this guy is an ultimate leader. And I think you got to be able to do that first. And I think now that room is going to respect him even more so. But John Metchie's a guy that can do a lot of things. Now, he's going to do it a different way. I don't think he's going to be Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle or, you know, Calvin Ridley or Jerry Jeudy. I think John Metchie is going to give you a little something different that maybe these guys are, you know, they just played the game at a different level. And I think Bill O'Brien is probably going to use him different. But I walked away because that was one of my questions, was does Alabama have that next first-round wide receiver that takes charge of that room? Because wide receiver is such an important position in this current time of college football. You've got to be able to utilize those guys and get your athletes out in open space. I think Metchie supplements that and will take that role up very, very well. Just sitting down talking with him for 5 minutes, leadership just jumps off to the page at you when you think about John Metchie. I no doubt that 5 minute conversation changed my outlook on John Metchie.
You were mentioning the awards, and the Bronco Nagurski Trophy goes to the best defensive player in college football, anywhere, in any position, anywhere in America. I had seen there. Now, it's just a watch list. I get it. Was it 6 Bama players made the watch list? I was like, you only start 11, man. Tell me what you think is possible for this defense, including specifically pass rush.
Well, pass rush is going to be elite. And I think this is how you now play defense in college football. I don't think you play defense, lining up and giving 8.6 points per game. I just don't think that those days are gone. Mm-hmm. But when you take a look at this defense, Chuck, if we're talking, because Alabama fans, you go back to 1961, they had 6 shutouts, 25 total points. You start there and you work all the way through, 1992, 2009, 2011.
The 79 team, I think I was like a fourth grader, and I was like, okay, whatever it is they're doing on defense, that's what every team should do.
Sure. And so it's become not just a Saban thing, but it's become a characteristic when you think about championship football in Tuscaloosa. Well, we're going to know a lot about defense. Can you still play good defense in the current time that we live in? Is that possible from this perspective? If this defense is not able to reach, and I'm not saying 8.6 points per game, but I'm saying look like a quality defense, look like some Saban characteristics that we've seen from his team, not the point-wise. I think 16, 17 points is the new shutout in college football. But if this defense does not reach those goals, then we'll back up and we'll go, it's just not possible in college football. It's just not possible in college football. This defense, it is hard to – if you're going to try to make the argument on the other side that this defense is going to be poor or – I don't know where you poke holes at this defense because there's so many quality players. And even the depth, defensive line depth, you look at linebacker depth, there's guys that are like 5 stars that are still waiting to get on the field because there's other 5 stars that are performing better than they are in front of them.
Oh, yeah. Alabama, with the media vote that I was talking about, Alabama wound up with all 3 first-team linebackers, and Henry Toto wasn't one of them, I don't think, was he?
Sure. No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the type of,
goodness,
depth that Nick Saban has built. So, Pete Golding, no excuses that this defense should not be one of the top in college football, if not the top.
Yeah, it was, Anderson and Harris and whoever the third linebacker was.
Chris Allen.
Chris Allen, that's exactly who it was. Yeah. My gosh, yeah. Apologies to Allen's mom and daddy. All right, last thing I want to ask you about.
And that's a guy that flies under the radar, but is a quality football player.
Yep.
And he's going to get a lot of he's going to get a lot of plays because the focus is going to be on Anderson so much.
I know that, Bama's bar is kind of high, and I've said that they're one of the 5 or 6 programs in all of college football. They're not really in a division or a conference because, it's win a national title or not. But what is the concern or even the interest level right now among the fan base that you hear from every single day? What is even the level of thought in their minds about Auburn right now, across state?
You have Alabama fans that are pretty concerned about recruiting for Brian Harsin, and I'm being sarcastic, but the fans who call into my show and participate, they're always talking about the recruiting side of things. And right now, if you're an Auburn guy, you have to be a little bit concerned. 14 out of 14 in the SEC, down in the 60s to 70s. You say, well, he's got to get started. If you look at Brian Harsin's track record out at Boise State, he was not a guy, even for a mid-major, that wanted to stand out for as far as recruiting. I don't think there's anything so far. Now, Brian Harsin may scare people when he lines up. You know, coming up in about 35 days, they may take a different approach. But right now, in the first 9-10 months of the tenure of Brian Harsin in Lee County, there's not too much that scares Alabama fans.
No, it's – I mean, it's not even – when I say they're not in a division, I think Alabama fans right now, if you said, you know, spin the wheel of their concern, I think it'd land on Georgia more than Texas A&M or LSU. Am I wrong on that?
No, absolutely. Listen, Georgia – Georgia has become a pretty good little rival with Alabama. I know it's not permanently on the schedule, but Georgia is one that we spend more time talking about Georgia. And then LSU grabs a lot of attention here, too.
Yeah.
So LSU, but it's Georgia probably one. Two would be LSU. And then we do take note, Texas A&M, and now the new Longhorns will be a part of it. And will that home schedule that they've got with the Longhorns, will that one become – will that become a conference game in 2022-2023? Who knows?
Well, I tell you what, when Auburn goes back to being the number one topic, you have me on then, okay?
I will get you on to talk about it.
All right, brother. I appreciate your time as always, Ryan. Thank you.
Hey, you guys have a great week. Thank you.
You too. Ryan Fowler again from 100.9 FM.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Chuck Oliver Show continuing on a Monday. Ryan Fowler, appreciate him coming on. Always good stuff with Ryan when it's time to talk Bama, which is about most days, to be honest with you. So we got to even that up. And in the next hour, we'll be talking Auburn with Jeffrey Lee, senior editor from Auburn from the new – do I call it the new on Three Sports?
Absolutely.
All right, it's new as of, like, I don't know, a week ago or so. Oh, did we talk about who got hired there? And we got David Lake from Inside the U. We're going to talk about you. If you're on Twitch watching me, I just did the U. From Miami, we'll talk that with David coming up bottom of next hour. I always love having David on. It's always great stuff from Miami. Have we mentioned one of our friends who he put it on Twitter? So I assume it's a fair game to talk about. But I think it's a good thing. I'm happy for him.
Are you talking about Alex Byington?
Alex Byington, yeah.
Yes. No, absolutely. As soon as I saw that, it's one of those that, like, you to steal one of your lines about good things happening to good people.
Yeah.
I yelped out loud.
Yeah, he with I believe the Montgomery Advertiser and was covering college football, and we would have him on, and it turned into a minute. Since we had heard from Alex, and it turns out that he had put on Twitter that, like so many other folks in the media, when sports shut down, he kind of got shut down. But he's back now, and it's with On3, isn't it?
It is.
Wow.
So he is going to be, I believe, a national, and I know that he is an editor for On3. So it's one of those things that Shannon Terry, he knows talent, and he knows how to add it, and he is doing it left and right with what they're doing. And me and you were talking a little bit during the break. They're announcing their presence with authority, like almost like athletic level in terms of announcements of people coming on and also groups coming on, like Kentucky Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and being part of that as well. This is one thing that we'll talk about a little bit coming up in CFT 365, but Quinn Ewers, who is supposed to be a rising senior quarterback in the Dallas area and a five-star quarterback recruit who was committed to Texas, who, I don't know, a month, 3 months ago, he flipped to the Buckeyes. He's about to flip to the Buckeyes even earlier. Because I don't know if this has been confirmed yet, but it is expected, and I don't see anybody that has disputed it. And so if it may be official, like within the last 10 minutes even. But Quinn Ewers, it looks like he is going to reclassify and actually enroll early at Ohio State. It's not as unusual as we think, but it is when you're a five-star quarterback, for instance. We saw Tony Grimes, I think that was the kid's name, a five-star kid out of the Virginia Beach area, cornerback commit to UNC, and because of the state of Virginia announcing they were not going to play high school football last year, Grimes reclassified. He did the – what, did Jake Bentley who did that?
Yeah, Bentley did.
Yeah, the ultimate early enrollee, and now we've had others. I think Jake Arcia – I mean, JT Daniels did it.
JT Daniels did. He started a year early at SC.
So – To go to college, and he played. I don't think Quinn Ewers is going to play. In fact, if you're at the window listening right now on the app and you got a Franklin in your hand and the over-under on Quinn Ewers' games played is 4.5, bet under. Bet under. He's going to appear in 4 games, and they're going to do some stuff with him. But they already have 3 studs at quarterback, none of whom have really played, none of whom have ever started. In fact, the kid who was supposed to win the job, and everybody, C.J. Stroud? Everybody's like, oh, yeah, it's going to be Stroud. Now, that's after they say, my gosh, they got 3 studs. Oh, but it's going to be Stroud. I was like, so is he like extra stud? He's never thrown a pass in a game. I think that's it. He's played. He played some last year. He would take snaps, and he may have a rushing attempt. I don't think C.J. Stroud threw a pass last year. And I talked about him being named second team preseason All Big Ten. And it was our buddy Tim Hall, wasn't it? He was like, dude, I'm voting first team. He's better than Penix. It's like, what? Michael Penix, who all he does is make huge plays. Ain't a lot of 6-yard completions on the Michael Penix highlight reel. All right, he goes for the downs. So he's going to jump into that depth chart, and he's going to play 4 games. And the reason he's doing it, we talked about last week, if this does become official, which is now being reported, you expect it to happen during this 24 hours. It's done. Okay, it's done.
On Twitter.
That it's because the state of Texas, the high school, the, was it ISL? Is that what it's called? UIL. That they said, if you take any sort of name, image, likeness funds, then you're ineligible. So you won't play any football this year. And he's like, well, if I'm not going to play any college, any high school football anyway, I may as well play college football. Now, when I said this is not unusual, it is when you're a 5-star corner from Virginia Beach or a 5-star quarterback from Dallas. I had 2 of my really good friends that I was in school with from first grade through graduation. The first half of each day, our senior year, they actually went to college. They took 2 college classes and then drove back to high school and finished the day there. There are folks who I went to school with that entered college early. You can complete your high school coursework on a college campus if you want to pay for it. And you'll take a college class. Start checking boxes, man. You can do it. Not easy and a cost. And almost always it's for someone who is advanced academically or very ambitious or gets scholarships or whatever. In this case, it's a 5-star quarterback who wants a little fold money.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number 1 in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.